Morning TNC family, it's the final Sunday in May, and today here we're kicking off one of my favorite traditions, something we've done together for 8 summers now, the Summer Reading Series, a series where every year we choose 4 or 5 brand new books written by some of the most important voices helping people think about what it means to live fully and wisely. And we do this series because everybody has a summer reading list, or at least thinks about creating one, or feels guilty about not having one. Beach books, school assignments, those airport thrillers you see people grabbing at the last second, or maybe your list is unintentional, just whatever you've been scrolling all week. But here, we want our summer reading to be intentional and stay connected to the deeper questions. How can we live the abundant life? And what kind of person are you becoming? Because you are becoming a kind of person each day this summer. How you spend your days is how you spend your life, as Annie Dillard famously reminded us. And you're being formed. I'm being formed at a speed no civilization has ever experienced before. For example, a person wakes up at 6:30 in the morning and before their feet even touch the floor. You know what I mean. They've already checked text, scanned headlines, taken in somebody else's vacation photos, watched a political argument, checked whether anybody liked the thing they posted last night, all before their feet hit the ground and they head for that first sip of coffee. And all of that is forming you, because whatever grabs our attention eventually shapes who we become. And now, of course, there are trillion-dollar industries competing for your attention. Which means your phone is not just entertaining you, it's discipling you. Your most watched TV channel, forming you, looking at other people and comparing yourself to them, that's forming you too. The question is not, am I being formed this summer? The question is, what is forming me? And these books this summer will help us navigate all of this. And we've built this series around 2 traditions over the years. First, the books have to be new, published within the last 12 months. Second, the authors have to be peer-reviewed and widely influential. And this year's lineup reflects that again. Miroslav Volf, writing about ambition, ego, and comparison. Bart Ehrman on who society decides is worthy of love. Ezekiel Emanuel, reflecting on mortality, limits, aging, death, and the gift of being human. And Kate Bowler, reminding us that joy still matters, even in a world filled with disappointment and uncertainty. A summer journey into what it means to become fully human. But before we open any of these books and explore the arguments and the ideas in them, I want to begin somewhere older and deeper, because as the scriptures say, Psalm 42, deep calls to deep. So, this year, for the very first time in Summer Reading Series history, we begin not with a modern author, but with an overture. An overture wakes you up, grabs your attention, and prepares you for what's coming. Its purpose is to say, hey, pay attention. Something important is about to happen. I think of that first moment in the movie Top Gun. The low strings humming underneath, and then the metallic synth note. Dun. Where your whole body instantly realizes, oh my, something enormous is coming. That's an overture. It doesn't tell you the whole story. It just gives you a feeling of what's coming before the story starts. And that's why we're beginning this series with Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1 is the overture we need. And Psalm 1 opens with a promise. Quote, blessed, happy, flourishing are those who do not walk in the way of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but who delight in the instruction of the Lord. And then the unforgettable image of verse 2, they are like a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Bam! Right out of the gate, he's saying, you really can live a flourishing life. And not just theoretically or someday, no, now, this summer, in real life. And that flourishing, TNC, is not primarily linked to your boss, your job, your kids, your paycheck, your circumstances, or your luck. It's linked to you, where you walk, how you stand, and who you sit with. Psalm 1 is saying, your environment is shaping you. What you listen to, what you watch, what you read, who you're around, what keeps grabbing your attention, those things are forming you, which is extraordinary when you realize that the psalmist understood the power of environment, attention, repetition, relationships, and so forth, thousands of years before algorithms or neuroscience existed. The biblical way of seeing the world has always known human beings become whatever repeatedly captures their hearts and minds. This is the Psalm 1 overture. Pay attention to your environment. And the psalmist gives us a picture of three environments: walking, standing, sitting, because where you repeatedly walk, stand, and sit will eventually shape the person you become. So let's think about these. First, walking. Blessed are those who do not walk in the steps of the wicked, or literally in the direction of, because walking implies direction. And you can walk in a lot of directions: north, south, east, west, fast, slow, energized and alert, or shuffling and half asleep. You can walk with enormous effort and still be moving in the wrong direction, because effort alone does not create progress. Effort plus direction creates progress. Otherwise, you can just end up walking in circles, climbing for years only to realize the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. That's why Psalm 1 begins with walking, because direction determines destination. And I think one of the most important spiritual questions you can ask at the beginning of summer is this: in what direction am I actually walking? And I don't just mean career direction or financial direction. I mean the direction of your becoming, who you're turning into step by step without even realizing it. And it's actually not hard to figure this out. All you have to do is pay attention to what you're paying attention to. And then you'll know the kind of person you're becoming, because your attention always reveals your direction. Psalm 1 is telling us, walk in the direction of what is good and right. But then Psalm 1 shifts. It moves from direction to posture, from walking to standing. First it asks, where are you headed? Then it asks, how are you standing as you go? Verse 3, blessed are those who do not stand in the way of sinners. Because you can be on the right path, but in the wrong posture. And by posture, I mean the way you're meeting, interpreting, talking, reacting to what's happening around you, your attitude. And the older I get, TNC, the more convinced I am that posture matters. The posture you bring into life changes how you experience almost everything. And I don't mean fake positivity or pretending life is easy. I mean the posture of staying engaged, hopeful, and even enthusiastic in a world that tries to drag you towards cynicism, isolation, and pessimism. I've just seen it over and over. A posture of enthusiasm matters. We'd all rather work with somebody enthusiastic, play on a team with somebody optimistic, build something with somebody enthusiastic, travel with somebody optimistic. Nobody has ever said, you know what this trip needs? More negativity. And one line from Bear Grylls I've never forgotten, and honestly, it comes to my mind a lot to this day when I walk into a room. In his survival guide for life, he writes that his mother always told him, quote, be the most enthusiastic person in every room. And here's the thing. You don't have to wait for enthusiasm. You can create it. Teaching piano over the years, I've seen this constantly. Students assume enthusiasm should come first, and if I'm not enthused, I won't practice. But I try to tell them that the opposite is true. You practice, you improve, and then enthusiasm grows, because progress produces enthusiasm. And spiritually, this is true too. You pray anyway, you forgive anyway, show up anyway, do the next right thing anyway. Faithfulness comes first, and then all of a sudden, the feeling follows. And here's another thing about becoming a more enthusiastic person. Enthusiasm grows when there's a strong foundation underneath you. Think about a child. A child jumps more confidently into a swimming pool when a parent is wading below. I would feel dramatically more enthusiastic about a 2-on-2 basketball tournament if Victor Wembanyama was my teammate. Confidence grows when there's support beneath you. And that's one of the things, by the way, the church is supposed to be. A place where people help one another to stand. So, direction shapes where you're going. Posture shapes how you experience the journey. But Psalm 1 isn't finished. Finally, the psalmist gives us a third move, sitting. Blessed are those who do not sit in the seat of mockers, because who you sit with eventually shapes who you become. Your courage, your dreams, your outlook. Journalist Sebastian Younger wrote a remarkable book called War, just that one word, war, after embedding with American soldiers in Afghanistan for like a year. And he said that he learned that what sustained these soldiers under unbearable pressure was not ideology or politics or leadership, not even survival. It was brotherhood, love. They cared more about one another than about themselves. And you can't get more biblical than that, because that kind of love forms you and it transforms you, which is why the psalmist asks, who are you sitting with? Who is fueling your life? And yes, I do watch a little NASCAR and IndyCar. Race engines, you probably know, use extremely high octane fuel, specifically engineered for performance. And the psalmist would approve of this metaphor. Some relationships are low octane, some are mid-grain, and some are like rocket fuel. And some, honestly, feel like diesel in an unleaded tank. Suddenly you're sputtering. But hopefully all of us have a few high-octane people in our lives, people who strengthen us, steady us, speak the truth to us, encourage us. And that's the third move. Happy are those who sit among the right people. And then Psalm 1 closes with this unforgettable image, a tree planted by streams of water, deeply rooted, nourished, alive. A few years ago, I planted 2 trees in my backyard, same day, same soil, same tools. One near water and sunlight, the other under some pine trees. And today, one is towering 40 feet tall, the other is stunted, still barely growing. And they're the same kind of tree. Same tree, different environment. Completely different outcome. And that's the Psalm 1 overture. The psalmist is saying human beings are constantly being shaped. So where you walk matters. How you stand matters. Who you sit with matters. And TNC, this is why we're engaging with these authors this summer. Because they're going to help us pay attention to where we're walking, standing, and sitting in our lives. This is why Psalm 1 is the overture this summer. And actually, not just to this series, but to your life and mine. So, this summer, yes, let's travel, rest, grill out, jump in the ocean, go to Braves games, but let's also stay rooted, stay awake, stay formed, and let these books help us become the kind of person Psalm 1 says we can be. Alive, steady, flourishing. Next week, we open our first book, Miroslav Volf's The Cost of Ambition. But now, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.